book of Jude. We're going to almost wrap this section up today, but not quite. There'll be one more time, although it may take a couple times to get through that one, but nearing the end of this section, not of the book, we're about halfway through, 25 verses. We're on verses 12 and 13 in the book of Jude. So let's go ahead and read those two verses. We've read them many times. So Jude, verse number 12. Speaking of the certain men crept in unawares, we would call them false teachers. He says, these are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose truth withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And so we have five different descriptions of these certain men crept in unawares. There are these spots or rocks beneath the surface of the water that indicates their consciousness and their boldness in what they're doing, denying the word of God. The clouds without water speaks of the fact that they're liars and aloof. The trees, as we saw last time, describe them as being worthless and barren. Today we're going to look at, the goal is to look at the waves and the stars. And so let's look at the raging waves of the sea first. This speaks of their spiritual unrest. Their spiritual unrest. Now I didn't grow up by the sea, and if you grew up around here, you didn't either. But we can imagine a stormy sea. I've been around Lake Michigan long enough. That's the biggest, what I'm used to. But when it got stormy out there, there were some pretty good-sized waves on Lake Michigan. I can just imagine what the sea would be like. But it's just so restless and just tossed around. And nothing you want to be in a boat on or swimming in. And so God uses this illustration. The Jews would be very familiar with this because of the Sea of Galilee and the Mediterranean, they would be very familiar with what a raging wave of the sea was, foaming out their own shame. Now, the idea of them in the stormy sea, they're compared, I believe, the results of that sea. Not just the sea, but the results of that sea. And a stormy sea does at least three things, has three results. The first result is that it's destructive. Destructive. We've all heard about erosion along the seashore or along the shores of Lake Michigan. Maybe you haven't, but I remember as a kid seeing a house tilting on the edge on the front page of the newspaper because a storm had come through and washed a lot of the sand away, and this very expensive house was about to fall into Lake Michigan. And so the raging sea is very destructive. Now, remember, this is what God is describing these false teachers as. Teachers that you can watch on television and teachers you can listen to on the radio. Last night, they were showing some of the names of men that believe the earth is billions and billions of years old. And they're very familiar names. Names that you can tune into and you can buy their books in the bookstore. They don't believe it. Did you know J. Vernon McGee believes the earth could be billions and billions of years old? You know, we got all his stuff that he gave out, and we had commentary. They made him hardbound, and he expanded them a little bit, and we got the first one on the book of the five books of the Pentateuch, and I was reading in that, and he thinks there's a big gap between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. And I thought, well, how about that? And so I got rid of them all. I don't want them. I believe he's probably saved, but he's wrong, and he's a false teacher because of what he's teaching. He's also a Presbyterian, which means he doesn't understand baptism, so he'll never teach baptism, right? So I don't think he's worth my time. There's a lot of good books out there. I'm not going to waste my time on bad books that you have to sort through. They're destructive. They'll cause spiritual damage to their hearers and their followers. We don't always recognize that. We think it's harmless. We've got that old saying, spit out the bad and keep the good. Kind of like eating watermelon. You spit out the pits, don't you? I hope so. You probably were told, like I was, that if you swallow those pits, you'll have watermelons growing out your ears. That's what my parents always told me. Of course, now you can get the seedless watermelons. I was so disappointed the first time I had one because they still have seeds. They're just not as big and as crunchy. And false advertising as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, there's a lot of good out there being taught. And you can find it with the internet as popular as it is in so many churches, especially after COVID. And maybe that's why God had COVID in our nation, so that the churches would get on board and get on the internet so that you can get some good resources outside of church. And so these false teachers that used to own everything are destructive, just like that raging wave and that erosion that a water on the ocean and on a big lake will cause. The second thing about them is they're dangerous. They're dangerous. Trying to remember where it was. It was, I believe, on Lake Superior. They found another shipwreck that went down a long time ago. They find them periodically. Now, why do those ships go down? Because of storms. And a fascinating story to behind a hymn is Let the Lower Lights Be Burning. And was a ship on Lake Erie trying to make it to harbor, and the lights went out, and the ship sank. And they wrote a hymn about it because it describes so well the Christian's responsibility to be the light in the world, to point the souls into safe harbor of the Savior Jesus Christ. It's a dangerous place to be in a boat on a raging sea. And I don't want to be on a boat on a calm, glassy, smooth sea, let alone a raging sea. There's water underneath the boat every time. And if it's in the driveway, not so bad, but get it out on the water, I don't understand the appeal. But I know a lot of people like it. But it's dangerous out there. And God's trying to say, not only are these false teachers, these certain men, not only are they destructive, but they're dangerous. They can destroy a church. And it's happened so often. The church I pastored in Ohio back in the 60s, there was a fellow who thought, well, you know what? We just need to compromise on a few things, and we need to take the name Baptist off our church. And he went to the pastor and told him so, and the pastor said, that ain't happening. And so this guy took a big group of people, and he wound up with all the deacons, went with them, and they started their own church right across town. Right across town isn't even accurate, because it was a lot closer than that. Bucyrus was a small town, and they just went just a couple miles down the road. Destructive, dangerous to the local church, leading people astray and destroying good churches. And you have so many churches today that have absolutely no concept of what missions are all about. That same church that split, I look on their missions board. Now they have a couple good missionaries that they support, but most of their missionaries are people that aren't winning souls to Christ. They're what's called helps. They have clothing ministries and things like that. And there's the mainline denominations. That's all they understand missions to be, is just feed the hungry and clothe the poor. That's all ministry is. They think if they give a cold bottle of water on a hot day, that that's ministry. I'm not saying it's not ministry, but certainly not missions or evangelism. It's dangerous. A lot of dangerous things are going on in our churches today, and that's why so many churches are struggling. And so these false teachers are dangerous, just like that raging waves of the sea when you're out on it in a boat. And then also, thirdly, they're dominating. dominating. It's their way or the highway. That's the one thing about these false teachers is they just don't listen. A good Bible teacher will listen, even if it's a false or a differing view, will listen. But these that are this type, these certain men crept in unawares, they have closed ears. They're convinced of their doctrine and they are not going to change. They don't want to hear. They want to be the teacher. They will not put themselves in the place of the student. And so they're domineering. They have to have their way. And so they're contentious and they're argumentative at the drop of a hat. And that's in that raging sea scenario, we see that illustrated so well. Now it says they're foaming out their own shame. I think there's two primary areas where they're going to foam out their shame before men and before God. Now, when they're discovered, upon discovery of error by men, you know, that day's coming. They may have a good following and they may be doing their thing, but there's going to come a day when they're found out. There was a guy in Grand Rapids, Michigan that started a big church. It was called Mars Hill. And he eventually resigned it to go be a consultant in a Hollywood show. Now, I was glad he got out, because, I mean, if you would even consider that, talk about, it's like going from being the President of the United States of America to cleaning toilets at the county jail. I mean, it's about that much of a demotion, but he thought he was really popular and doing right, but it turned out the guy's an atheist. The guy's an atheist. Yeah, he had a mega church. These guys, they get found out eventually. But if we don't find out here on earth upon discovery of error by men, the day will come upon exposure at the judgment day. Upon exposure at the judgment day. And the way I said, reason I said judgment day is because there'll be two different judgments that these men will stand before. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 13. Now, this is something you're familiar with, just not usually from this passage of Scripture. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. He's talking about the judgment seat of Christ here. It's referred to in Romans chapter 15 and, of course, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But at the judgment seat of Christ, and it'll be exposed by God whether they were biblical or not, whether these certain men crept in unawares or not. And then also there's another judgment for the lost that is described in Matthew chapter 7. Now, not all of these teachers are sincere. Some of them are, though. But many of them aren't. They're charlatans, and they know they're charlatans. They just won't admit it, because then they'll lose their lucrative business, the lucrative con that they have going on. But this is a reference to those that are really believe they're doing the right thing, because some of them do. Chapter 7, verse 21 of the book of Matthew, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And so we have to understand that a lot of these people that are writing books, a lot of these people that have a radio ministry or a television ministry, a lot of them just aren't saved. A lot of them just aren't saved. And that's why I say you've got to go online and find out what they believe. Because a lot of them believe in a works-based salvation. They think they can do something to make it to heaven. And they can't. The Bible's very clear on that. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And so, and a verse goes on beyond that, but that's the important part about works in Ephesians chapter 2. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And so God is very clear on that. And so there's many out there that are going to wind up in hell for all eternity, even though they were looked up upon as spiritual leaders here in our world. I mean, think of all the Muslims. Boy, they're pretty serious about what they believe. Did you hear about Minneapolis, by the way? Minneapolis is the first major city that has the prayers, the Muslim prayers, broadcast citywide. We've got it down in, I believe, Dearborn. They do it. But Minneapolis is the first major city. And so I just made a mental note. I'm avoiding Minneapolis. There's no reason for me to ever want to go there. They're one of the major cities that wanted to get rid of all the police. And so they've got some wackos running that city. But anyway, a lot of sincere people are in hell right now because they thought they could earn their way to heaven. They didn't accept God's free gift. All right, so what does this tell us about these people? The conclusion on the fact that they're raging waves of the sea, simply that they're contentious and destructive. And we talked about both of those earlier. They're contentious and they're destructive. And there's no way I have time to do the stars tonight. We'll pick it up, Lord willing, next time. Get done just a couple minutes early tonight. All right, so let's go ahead and be dismissed in prayer. Father, we're grateful for your goodness to us. Bless us as we each go our separate way, that we'll bring glory to your name as we go out and interact in our culture. Father, they need to see the light, and so help us to be that light as we're supposed to be. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.